بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in the opening few pages of the 10th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very important campaign that took place during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and perhaps what was the beginning of the era of the dominance of Islam. We find prior to this, the Muslims were not really taken seriously by the other Arab tribes. But after this particular campaign, this particular occurrence, which was the Battle of Badr, thereafter the entire Arab world woke up and started to realize that the Muslims and Islam is a force to be reckoned with. This particular campaign took place during the second year after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have heard the incident of Badr many times, the difficulty and the challenges that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum faced during this particular campaign. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses mentions a few of these challenges, a few of these difficulties that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to undergo. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives four guidelines that a person, if he will follow these four advices and he will practice upon them, especially at the time of difficulty, then this will be a means of him securing the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So although these verses were revealed particularly with regard to facing the enemy on the battlefield, but Mufassirin have explained that this al-ibratu li'umum al-alfaz, generally in the Quran, although verses were revealed for specific reasons and purposes, but they can be applied elsewhere during throughout the life of a mu'min. Whenever a person is faced with any challenge, any difficulty, he is in some tight spot, and he will make amal on these four particular guidelines, then he will secure the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ فِئَةً فَثْبُتُوا. O those who have iman, when you encounter the enemy on the battlefield, and here we can apply it to when the challenge, when the difficulty is in front of you, فَثْبُتُوا, then the first thing you need to do is remain steadfast. Continue to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not let this difficulty deter you and turn you away from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And thereafter Allah says, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. We can imagine a person is on the battlefield, he is staring the enemy in the face. What more frightening situation can there be? Yet the guideline here is that don't become negligent, don't become unaware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even for a single moment. A person is facing some difficulty, some challenge, whatever it may be, physical, financial, spiritual, then not to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to always be aware and understand that we are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person will think of Allah, he will remember Allah, then not only will it become easier for him to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he will also bring to mind the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will realize that Allah is the one who is going to make a way out for me from this particular situation. So the second guideline, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Thereafter Allah says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. That when a person or here a group is facing some challenge, many a times we find when it comes to a household, perhaps there is some financial difficulty, perhaps some member of the family is not well. So here Allah says that ensure that you abstain from infighting. Don't argue, don't dispute with one another. فَتَفْشَلُوا, because this will cause you to lose heart, to lose courage. If the camp is not united and there is division, then it will be almost impossible to face the challenge and to overcome the challenge. So وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, do not be divided, do not have infighting amongst yourselves. Yes, people may be under pressure, it is a stressful time, but as far as possible, stay united. فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And the last, the fourth advice, Allah says, وَصْبِرُوا. Endure this difficulty, this challenge, this hardship, with sabr, with patience. Do not be hasty. Don't give up, don't lose hope. Rather, wait patiently for the help, for the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. And Allah then gives the glad tidings that Allah and Allah's assistance is with those who are patient. So these are four guidelines we can make amal upon. Whatever difficulties, whatever challenges we may find ourselves facing, that these four things, if we will practice upon them, then we will secure the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Allah advises the Muslim army and the Muslimin in general that do not adopt the ways and the qualities of the disbelievers. And here in this particular instance, what is Allah speaking about? That when they left their home and they came out for battle, the Quraysh or the Qurayshi army, then their condition was bataran. They did this with a great amount of pomp and pride, wari'a and nas, and showing off, trying to show the people their strength and their power and their might. And this is the general behavior of someone who is devoid of iman, because there is no belief in the akhirat, there is no belief in life after death, there is no belief in jannat. So therefore they will look to secure whatever gains they can of this dunya. But the mu'min, the believer, he understands that there is life after death, there is hisab, there is jannah, there is reward that is waiting for me in the akhirat. Therefore everything he does is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not do things for show, for name and fame, for people to give him accolades, but rather he does it solely and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the primary difference between someone who does not have iman and someone whose heart is full with iman. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the reason for the Quraysh losing this particular battle of Badr, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused their dominance to be taken away from them. Understand that at this time, or this point in time, the Quraysh were enjoying a period of complete and total dominance. They were the custodians of the Kaaba. They had control of the well of Zamzam. This was regarded as a great honor in those days, that they would give water to the Hujjaj, those who would come to visit Baytullah. Their army was unmatched. They had trade coming to them from different parts of the Arabian Peninsula. They were enjoying a very easy life. But in this particular campaign, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought about defeat. Why? So Allah mentions, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah's system is such, when He blesses any nation, any group, or any person with any bounty, then Allah does not just take away this bounty. Allah does not take the blessing away until and unless they do not do something to change it. When they are ungrateful, when they do not appreciate the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they do not come onto the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this becomes the sabab and the means for that bounty and that blessing to be taken away from them. So this was the reason that brought about the downfall of the Quraysh. So this was Suratul Anfal, and thereafter we began Suratul Tawbah, which was from amongst the last surahs to be revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The opening verses were revealed, Mufassirin say, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was returning from the expedition of Tabuk. This took place in the 9th year after Hijrah. So very close to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this particular surah, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally exposes the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. And various different signs and marks are given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is how you will be able to identify those who do not have true iman within their hearts. And this particular ghazwa, this particular campaign of Tabuk, has been mentioned in the ahadith as a very, very difficult and challenging campaign. We find the backdrop was the Muslim army was called upon at short notice to gather. Who was the opponent? The opponent was the Roman army. The Romans at that time were known as the superpower of the time, a very strong army. So firstly, the opponent was a very challenging one. Secondly, Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned the season was midsummer, extreme heat. So physically, the conditions were also challenging. And together with this, it was the time in Medina Munawwara where the crops were ready to be harvested. We find the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, unlike the Muhajirin, in Makkah Mukarramah, generally Sahaba were businessmen. They were involved in buying and selling and trade. But the Ansar of Medina Munawwara, by and large, were involved in farming. So therefore, they had plantations, they had crops, and the effort that they had made the entire year on these plantations, now was the time to reap the reward. The harvest was ready, and they could foresee a great amount of profit for that year. It was a bumper crop, and now they are called upon to leave all of this and to join the army of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was the litmus test, to see whether there is true iman or whether there is nifaq. Of course, there were those sahaba radiallahu anhu who had genuine excuses, either old age or sickness, and therefore they were unable to take part. But generally those who stayed behind were those who had nifaq, those who did not have true iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about them in this particular surah, and Allah mentions, يَحْذَرُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ أَن تُنَزَّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ سُورَةٌ تُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. That the hypocrites always had this fear within their heart, that a surah must not be revealed informing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that we do not really have iman within our hearts. And yet then thereafter, this fear of theirs then came true, and the surah was revealed. And they came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and very feeble and flimsy excuses that they offered to him. It's mentioned in some riwayat, one person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says to him, that I am a very weak-hearted individual. And I have heard that the Roman women are very fair in complexion and very beautiful women. So my excuse for not joining is that if I had to join this campaign and I came with you and I saw these Roman women, I would have fallen into some fitna, some temptation. And therefore, for this reason, to protect myself, I stayed behind. So like this, very feeble, flimsy excuses that they offered to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this manner, he was able to differentiate who had true iman from those who had nifaq. So this was the opening verses of Surah At-Tawbah. One more verse and we'll terminate. A very amazing incident that is mentioned, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about zakat, and a person who does not pay his zakat. So here Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Those who hoard, those who store away their gold and silver, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah, then give them glad tidings. This is said sarcastically. Give them glad tidings of a painful punishment that awaits them. Under this particular verse, the muhaddithin have mentioned the view of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu was a sahabi who had a very high level of iman, of taqwa. And when he heard this verse, that those who hoard and store gold and silver, and they do not spend it in the path of Allah, then he passed a ruling that it is haram for a person to keep any wealth that he does not need for the day. Whatever food, clothing, expenses for the day, once that is taken care of, it is haram, not permissible for him to keep any wealth and store any wealth. Nevertheless, Sahaba radiallahu anhum clarified and explained that this is not the case. And thereafter, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mentioned that yaknizun, storing gold and silver here refers to when a person stores so much that he doesn't pay the zakat. So yes, we are allowed to save, we are allowed to store our wealth. Of course, this should not be the primary goal of a believer, but a person is allowed to save as long as he ensures that he pays his zakat on time. The hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned, that person who does not pay his zakat, then on the day of Qiyamah, مُثِّلَ لَهُ شُجَاعٌ أَقْرَى. A serpent, or rather his wealth, will be turned into a serpent. لَهُ زَبِيبَتَان. The serpent will have two black dots on top of its head. And here they explain that this indicates towards a very venomous serpent. And then the serpent will yoke itself around this person and say to him, أَنَا كَنْزُكْ أَنَا مَالُكْ. I am your wealth. I am that which you hoarded and you stored. So this is the punishment for a person who does not pay zakat. Now in the month of Ramadan, generally many people take out their zakat. Firstly, we should check when is our zakat date, when has 1 year passed over our wealth, go to the ulama, find out. And together with this, ensure that our calculations are done correctly. Go to the ulama ikram, take our entire portfolio to them. These are my assets, these are my liabilities, how do I calculate my zakat? And the third thing is ensure that we give our zakat to deserving recipients, those who are valid recipients in Shariat. In this way, we will be saved from questioning on the day of Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.